Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. And Joel, we have to start with one of the biggest movers on my screen, and unfortunately it's to the downside, that is gold. Actually, precious metals in general, gold is down about, was down about $25, has rebounded, now down on the spot market about 15. Silver is down 31 cents, that's about 1.25%. Look, fact of the matter is gold continues to kind of break down. And even after that last recent bounce, a lot of people holding onto that kind of 1760 level, I guess. And we're right around there. But again, this breakdown, it just keeps on happening. You look at a one-year chart of gold, it's not a good-looking chart. It's lower highs and lower lows pretty consistently. That being said, the longer-term chart still, you can argue, is intact. But boy, oh boy, this weakness really taking hold here in the precious metals. Joel, what's your takeaway from the action today?
Good afternoon, Corey and Chad. Thanks for having me. A couple different things are contributing to this. You know, you're having the dollar perk up, right? The dollar's had a nice rally. Assumption that interest rates are going to go up someday, maybe sometime, if Jerome Powell changes his mind. So the dollar and gold inverse factors. Second, who wants gold in their portfolio at the end of the quarter, man? I want to look good at the end of the quarter. I don't want gold in there. I mean, it was looking good a week and a half ago. So dumping out also, I mean, you got it on days like this, you just, you know, being a technician, you know, some days can hurt you. Some days can help you. You had the support, the trio of lows at 1760. So you wiped everybody out that was leaning on that, right? And you went to 1750. And it's the old undercut and rally. You know, now you're 13 bucks off the low. Now the shorts that, you know, pounded it going into 1760, looking for 1720, 1730 are scratching their heads. The longs that got stopped out are like, oh, did they just nick me? So I think we're at an important level right now. And I'll look at it the intraday. We're bouncing back up to the areas of the old lows basis. I believe this is the June contract, or do they already roll over to the SAP? So you get back above 1765. That was your former support. Let's see if that acts as new resistance. I did look at its brother, silver. That did make a new low of the move, not by as much. So there's still a glimmer of hope out there for you gold and silver bulls.
Well, thanks for that, Joel. I do look at the gold and silver sell-off hitting new lower lows as an area of concern. But you mentioned a pretty good point there about the undercut and rally. Do you think this was just a running of the stops where, even though it's the month end and the quarter end, could this just be the final washout to get everybody out of the space before a new base is built and before a lot of institutions run the price back up?
Yeah, oh, definitely. There's stops. I can remember in the pits, you know, they'd be gunning for those. There were probably some more stops at 1750 that they didn't get to. So, that's definitely a scenario. What I like about these kind of setups and these kind of trades is that, you know, you have an out here. I mean, if you decide to take a stab here, you don't want to see 1750.10 get taken out, right? So you have an identifiable out. So yeah, definitely that happens in these markets. Like I said, end of the month, you know, end of the quarter, end of the month, different things can happen. It has been in a trading range. Will it shake out of this trading range will be determined. But it, like I said, at least with these kind of point, you know, these kind of trades, you know, you have an out and you know where you want to exit if in fact. Think about how much you can lose, not how much you can make.
That's an interesting point there, Joel. You are right. You can take a trade here and have a very tight stop. That being said, what if that stop is broken? Should we be looking down lower to that 1673 low? And if that's broken, look, I've heard some generalists that I respect say we really need to question this long-term bull market for gold, but that's a whole different discussion. What comes next if, again, that near-term stop is broken?
Come on, you've been doing the show long enough with me. 1700s first, right?
The round numbers, yeah.
Yeah, the round number theory. Look how it's holding up today pretty well with 1750.10. I'm looking at a monthly low from April at 1708.90. But, you know, just sometimes they just seem to work. Look at the way that 1900 was a teaser. Look at the way we couldn't get back over 1800 after you made the low. Highest of the rebound was 1795.60. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get out the picks and shovel and start digging for 1650. First things first, you got to take out 1700. You have a monthly low, also psychological support at that level.
So, Joel, how do you balance some of these, let's call them fundamental drivers? When you look in the short term, clearly we've seen this rotation back into growth and tech. We haven't seen some of the safe havens run nearly as high. Treasuries yields have stayed relatively range bound. You look at the gold stocks and silver stocks. Those arguably have been leading the way down. But then you balance that out with the long-term outlook saying, look, the Fed's going to keep on printing money, debt keeps on growing, so that's long-term bullish for gold. How do you balance out those two?
Did you just say a nasty word?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Fundamentals?
Yep.
What are those? Since when do they matter? They don't matter. They don't matter. Whether some of these stocks have gone, some of the moves that we've had. The only fundamental is that Jerome Powell is not taking rates up. And that in comparison, whatever inflation is, then inflation is. But there's also inflation in the stock market. You have a relentless bid under this market just because there's nowhere else to put your money. No, fixed income or, you know, bonds. The bonds have had a little bit of move. But you just have an insatiable bid underneath this market. And some stocks is justified with the fundamentals, but, you know, I could go on for the next half hour stocks that it's not justified. So you just got to keep in mind that inflation can be good for stocks because everything gets inflated. So don't mean to be hard on you, Corey, about, you know, talking about fundamentals, but, you know, with high frequency trading, pattern recognition, meme stocks, Reddit. I mean, fundamental. Unfortunately, for old guys like me, fundamentals really don't mean much anymore.
Joel, you are nailing it on the head there today with the fundamentals don't matter comment. So I just have to ask you, it seems like we're in a narrative-driven marketplace, but you also brought in machine trading, algo trading, meme stocks. You know, look at the craziness we've seen all year long with the SPACs and the NFTs selling for millions of dollars on digital art on the blockchain. We've seen the cryptos go up and down and up and down. You know, we've seen some of the most volatile markets I can remember over the last year or two. And a lot of it seems completely unhinged from anything that's based on PE ratios or the fundamentals that you just mentioned as a nasty word. So what is driving the markets anymore then? Is it all narrative? Is it all about the Fed? What do you think the prime movers are in these markets? Because they seem all over the place.
Rotation, you know, okay. It's simply, you know, moving the money around. That's why you really rarely see these onslaughts in the market. You know, hey, I'm out of value. I'm buying tech. You know, I'm out of the banks. I'm buying growth. So there's just a constant and identifying the rotations, getting ahead of the rotations, whether they're fundamentally or technically based. Is really just keeps this market up. I mean, healthcare is a little bit out of favor. Biotech gets hot and then it's not. EVs get hot and then they're not. So I just think it's just all about sector rotation. And for me, I mean, I just stay balanced, you know, with, you know, holdings and, you know, the S&P 500. I can't beat the market. So, you know, you get your top six components right now. They're all tech components, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, and Facebook. So as long as, you know, the growth tech is doing okay, then I'm doing okay too.
So, Joel, kind of to the point of some strong economic data and even the market showing investors willing to go more into, I guess, risk on, we did have that bank stress test out of the U.S. and all the banks passed. We're seeing some slightly different moves in some of the banks in terms of market and share price moves. But what's your takeaway from the, I guess, strong performance of the banks in the stress test, I guess, leading to even more confidence in the U.S. economy broadly?
Well, the biggest driver for banks is interest rates, and they don't look like they're going up anytime soon. Morgan Stanley set the bar really high with doubling their dividend. So I think that penalized some of the other bank stocks that weren't quite as impressive. But I look at this. I look at the Morgan Stanley move. I look at the JP Morgan move. I mean, these stocks had some big down moves. So I really don't think this is time to start peeling out, you know, moving into banks. What I'm looking for is, you know, I think people are going to be selling to strengthen these banks because you do have some of your commodities coming off. The stress tests were good. JP Morgan being, you know, the leading bank, being extremely conservative. I think they took theirs up a dime. So I look at the pop here. If this doesn't materialize, you know, through the remainder of the week, then I think the banks, this is a little bit of a rally to sell. You're getting a nice one in Morgan Stanley. Goldman got a pop, couldn't hold that. So I look at your levels from today. See where they're at in relation to the, you know, to the all-time high and to the low of the move that they had earlier in the month, and see if you can get half of those back. See if you can maintain. See if you can consolidate at that area and then make a poke. But I don't see big drivers for banks in the second half of the year.
What about tech then? Let's wrap it up with tech because, look, we've touched on it a number of times. Tech is getting money flowing in, and Facebook just recently touched over $1 trillion market valuation, has pulled back a little bit from there, but look, just goes to show how strong tech is right now.
Yeah, that, you know, tech seems to be a stay-at-home play. It seems to be a, you know, a reopening play. Tech just seems to be tech. And, you know, there was what led us out of the abyss last March. It has its periods of consolidation. Google's been grinding. The Facebook news, I really didn't think that was news yesterday. But, you know, it got the pop given back a little bit today. That was a huge breakout. So tech just seems to be your new T-bill, you know, your new safe haven. And it seems to hold up in both markets. Apple broke out of that 25-day trading range looking good. Microsoft grinds higher. Amazon got the pop off the prime day, couldn't get through that 35.50, that all-time high. So I was looking for a breakout in that one. That didn't happen. As I said, Google just grind. Google's up 44-45% for the year. So, you know, stay at home or reopening, tech seems to be the place to be.
All right, Joel, we'll wrap it up here. One little note to make is that as we're recording this, the gold stocks have bounced back a little bit. So maybe this is signifying a bit of a turn. Maybe this is a final washout here. Only time will tell. But yeah, you did outline some key points that at least the gold bugs need to be looking at. Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to the Benzinga website where everyone can listen to your pre-market prep show. Chat again next week, Joel. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. And you too, Shad.